If you could turn with me, please, the living word of God to the Gospel according to John and the chapter 13. The Gospel according to John and the chapter 13. I do want to thank both our pianist this evening and our pianist this morning as well. In chapter 13, Jesus Christ has gathered with his disciples, and there he will celebrate the feast of the Passover, and he will also institute the Lord's Supper. Those two elements of the bread and of the cup, which signify the body which he will break and the blood which he will shed. But in verse 33, we pick up the reading. Christ speaking to his disciples, he says these words, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. We'll end reading there at verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This is a text that will be familiar to many tonight. And whenever we come to a familiar text, it's easy to switch off thinking, well, I've heard it before. But we've been singing about the Word of God being old yet ever new. And let us take this opportunity to pray that the Lord would let his word come forth, that old word which never changes, those old truths which never change, but may they come with a freshness to every one of our hearts this evening. Let us pray to that end. Let us bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank that thy word is old, yet ever new. Father, we read in Psalm 19 that thy word is powerful to convert the soul and to enlighten the eyes. Father, enlighten the eyes of we are thy people more and more. Free us unto Christ more and more. And Father, for those that are lost this evening, open up their eyes. Give them new hearts. And seeing Christ, may they love him. And may they give their all to him. May they kiss the Son, lest he be angry and they perish from the way. I thank thee for thy living word. I thank thee for this text. I thank thee for the context. Bless it now to every heart. Change our lives through it. For the glory of Christ we pray it. Amen and amen. Imagine that after the meeting's over, you travel home. And while you're in your car traveling to your house, you hear what sounds like a flat tire. And so you pull over at the side of the road, It's dark. You get out of your car and you go to the back passenger side of your car, and there you realize that your back left wheel is as flat as a pancake. You go into your boot, you pick out your torch, you pick out your jack, your special lock nut, and your spare tire. And you think, great, I'm going to get the wheel changed. But then you realize you've got no wheel brace to actually take off the nuts. Unless you have all that you need, what you have is no good. Or imagine tomorrow you are asked to bake a cake. And so you think, well, I need to get this done tonight. And so you go to your cupboards, and there you get your butter, and you get your sugar, and you get your eggs. And whenever you go to begin to make the cake, you soon realize that you've got no flour. You can't make the cake. Unless you have all that you need, what you have is no good. And the night before Jesus Christ would give his life as a ransom for sinners, Jesus Christ tells his disciples that he's going to his Father's house. The apostle Thomas is a little bit unclear as to what the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to whenever Christ speaks of the Father's house. And so Thomas asks in verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now Jesus Christ, having already explained that he's going to the Father's house, Christ focused his answer on the second part of Thomas's question. How can we know the way? And so Christ gives the answer. This is the way to the Father's house. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the essence of this text is this, that Jesus Christ is all that we need to get to glory. Jesus Christ and who he is and what he gives us in the gospel, he is all that we need to get into that relationship with the Father and to get to that Father's house, that place of many mansions. Christ is all that we need to be saved. Now, whenever we come into John 14, verse 6, many different people look at it in different ways. For example, people reading verse 6, where they will put emphasis on the term I am. And they will say that actually verse 6 refers to three I am statements, where Christ is saying, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. But yet you and I will notice that there is only one I am. This is one statement, not three. Other people will put emphasis on the term way in John 14, verse 6. And Christ will say, in their minds, I am the way. That way that's true and that way that's living. And so they put emphasis on the word way. But the Greek doesn't put emphasis on the word way. The term way is equal with the term truth and the term life. Other people will look again at this verse and again putting the emphasis on the word way. They will say, and they will interpret Christ's words as saying, I am the way because I am the truth. And because I am the life. And what they're seeking to emphasize there is the deity of Christ, where Christ is the one who can take us the glory because he is God. Only God is truth. Only God is life. And of course, Christ is divine. We're not denying that. But I put it to you this evening that none of these are the right way of understanding this passage because, again, there's only one I am, and the terms way, truth, and life are all equal. This is one statement. And within this one statement, we have three truths, three facts regarding Christ. And collectively, I want us to see tonight that these three facts regarding Christ present Christ as all that we need. All that we need to be saved and to get to glory. And the question will be throughout this message, and the application will be very straightforward. Do you have Christ? And do you have all that you need? Because if you do not have Christ, then you are not going to glory. Regardless of what you think, regardless of what you feel, regardless of what experiences you've had, if you do not have Christ, then in love I tell you, you are not on your way to glory. And your great need tonight is to have Christ in all that he is. So let us begin tonight. Christ says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the first thing I want as a note regarding Christ is this, that Christ is the way. Or to put it another way, Christ is our redemption. Whenever Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the word for way there simply means road. In fact, if you want to turn back a few pages in the Word of God to the Mark's Gospel chapter 10. Mark's Gospel chapter 10. In verse 46, we read about a blind man sitting. And we're told where he's sitting. Mark 10, 46, we read that they, that's Christ and his disciples, came to Jericho, and has he, that is Christ, went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway. That word highway is exactly the same term in John 14, 6. A highway is a road. Or indeed, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 9, Christ tells a story of a king who arranged a wedding for a son. The king bids the servants to go into the highways and to bid people who are in the highways to come to the wedding. So what Christ is saying here in John 14, verse 6 is, I am the road. I am the highway to my Father's house. I am the way to glory. I am the way to heaven. Now, you think what a highway is or what a road is. In its most basic of terms. And a road is that which takes you from point A all the way to point B. It takes you from one place to the other. And the lesson is this, Christ will take us all the way. And who he is and what he's done, if we trust in him, he will take us all the way from where we are now, all the way to glory. And to understand how Christ does that, we need to understand the context here. Because, as I mentioned earlier on at the reading, what we have is Christ in the upper room. He's with his disciples. He's celebrating the Passover, that picture where a lamb is taken, a lamb without blemish, and that lamb has been killed. That lamb has been a sacrifice for the sins of people, of men and women. But Jesus Christ taking the Passover, Jesus Christ explaining that he is a Passover, Christ now, he takes two new elements. He takes bread and he takes a cup. Mark chapter 14 makes this clear. And the bread, Christ says, this is an illustration. This is a picture of his body. That body that doesn't pollute, that body that's clean, that body that is good, that body which has lived a perfect life without defilement, without dirt. Christ has lived a perfect life. And then he takes the cup, and there the cup is filled with red grapes. And Christ takes it, and he speaks about how this is a picture, an illustration of the blood that he would shed for the remission of sins, so that people could be forgiven. And so what Christ is saying, that if people want to get to glory, they need to realize that I am the way. People need to realize that they're not good enough. They haven't lived a perfect life. That they be honest, they must agree with the words of Scripture that all have sinned and all do continue to come short of the glory of God. And if you and I are honest with ourselves this evening, we do not have a perfect life. We're not like Christ who lived the perfect life. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He loved the Lord his Father with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. Every second of every moment. Christ never had an impure thought. Christ never had a selfish thought. He never had any love or delight outside of his Father. Christ was perfect in every single way. And so Christ is saying that if you want to get the glory, you need to have never sinned, and you need to have had a perfect life. And as a result, we don't have those things. So Christ says, I am the way. You want to get to point A where you are now? You want to get the glory? Well, I am the way. I'm the one who's lived the perfect life. There's the bread. I'm the one who's fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. I'm the one who's lived a righteous, a perfectly spotless life, harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners. I'm the one who's lived that. But more than that, I'm the one who is going to shed my blood to pay the debt for sinners, that your sin can be completely forgiven. So not merely can you then be presented before the Father as one who's never sinned, your sin being washed away, but you can be presented before the Father as one who's lived the perfect life.
This is what you need to get to glory. No sin and perfection. And Christ is the only one who gives both. He's the only one. So Christ is simply saying, I am the way. If you want to get to glory, you must put your trust in me. Who I am, as God the Son, taking upon myself a human nature, living a perfect life that you never lived, and then paying the debt for your sins. You need to put your trust in this. And then you will get from point A to point B. You will get from where you are all the way to glory. Whenever we look at this, that Christ is our redemption, he's done all that's necessary to redeem us, to purchase us, we see a number of things. First of all, we see these things that are comforting. Because a road, by definition, is that which takes you all the way from point A all the way to point B. If I was to turn around and speak to you about two towns, town A and town B, and there was a road that took you half the way, I would not refer to that road as a road that takes you to town B. I would simply say that's a road that takes you toward town B. No, a road that takes you to town B is the one that takes you all the way to there, right into the very center of the town. And so here's the wonderful thing. You put your trust in Christ, who he is and what he's done, he will take you all the way to glory. He'll not leave you stranded. He'll not take you part of the way. He'll take you all the way to glory. This is a comforting reality. Christ is the complete way to the Father. He's also the universal way to the Father. Because as we notice, this term way, this term road, refers to a highway, a public road. I don't know if you're aware what the busiest road is in Northern Ireland, but from my research, it is the West Link there on the way into Belfast. And over 90,000 people use that road every single day. Now, if you were to be a little bit nosy and you were to stand on the bridge and you were to look at all the people that are using that road, you'll find that there's a whole variety of people. There's tall people and short people, small people and big people. You'll find that there's people there with blonde hair, some with brown hair, some with red hair, and some with grey hair, and even some with no hair, and they travel on the road. You'll find that there's wealthy people, and then there's poor people. You'll find that there's young people, and there's older people, but the highway is for everybody. It's open to everybody. And Christ declaring that he is the way, he's the way for all that want to travel to glory. Regardless of whether you're young or whether you're older, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you've got blonde hair, no hair, whether you've got red hair or brown hair, whether you're tall or whether you're short, whether you're big or whether you're small, Christ is the way to glory for all those who want to get there. In fact, in Isaiah 45, verse 22, Christ says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And in John 6, verse 37, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No matter who you are, what you have done, what you haven't done in your past, no matter how dark it is, no matter how black it is, no matter how sinful it is, no matter how vile it is, Christ is the universal way to glory for all those that put their trust in him. He's a complete way to glory. He's the universal way to glory. But also more than that, he's the simple way to glory. Again, imagine our two towns. We've got town A and we've got town B. One road takes you from where you are all the way to where you need to get. Simple. One road. No turns to the left or the right. Just one road. I wonder if you've ever been looking for a place, not been able to find it, you asked for directions, and you were told, oh, you want to get to that place? Well, you go along the main road, you take a left at the second hedge on your right, then you take your first left after your fourth bump, and your third right after your seventh house. Once you pass the roundabout, I'm the third house after your second left. Directions can be so complicated. So many roads. This way is simple. One road. One person. One way takes you all the way to glory. That's Christ. I said that these truths are comforting. But they're also challenging. Because Christ is the essential way to the Father. You see, roads are only going to be a benefit if you travel on them. You and I could look at a road. We could stand beside a road. We can be near the road. We can listen to people talk about the road. But unless we get on the road, we will never get to where we need to get. There may be somebody here tonight. You may know about Christ. You may have gone to Sunday school. You may have gone through children's meetings. You may have gone through your fellowship. But unless you get on the road, unless you get on to Christ, unless you see who He is as God the Son, taking upon Himself that human nature, living that perfect life that you never lived, dying and shedding His blood to pay the debt for your sins, unless you put your trust on Christ, unless you get on the road, you will never get to glory. Roads are essential to travel on if you want to get from town A to town B, from where you are now all the way to glory. Roads are essential. There's no other way. Let me ask you tonight, are you one who admits that you are a sinner? Are you one who believes that Christ has done all that's necessary for your salvation in the life He lived and the death He died to pay the debt for sins? Have you called out to Christ for that salvation? And in thankfulness for what He's done for you in love, have you dedicated your life to Him? Giving it all to Him. Trusting in Him. If not, you're not on the road to glory. You're not on the road to the Father. You're not on Christ. Roads are essential if they're going to be a benefit. You must get on them. But not merely is Christ the essential way to the Father, but Christ is the exclusive way to the Father. Christ said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The reality is that if you've got one road that takes you from town A to town B, there is only one road that takes you to the Father. There's not two roads or five roads or 100 roads. There's one road. And the reality is tonight that you can only ever be in one road at a time. You can't be on two roads. You can't be trusting in Christ alone and yet at the same time trusting in something else. Your life, your works, your church, your family, your baptism, whatever it may be. You can't be trusting in Christ alone at the same time trusting in Christ plus something else. There's only one road that takes you to glory, and it's Christ alone. Trusting in Him alone. The life He lived, the blood He shed alone. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Christ said through His servant, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. David Dixon was a former professor of divinity in Edinburgh. Asked on his deathbed how he found himself, he said these words, I have taken my good deeds and my bad deeds and together thrown them in a heap and from them fled to Christ. Let me ask you, are you on the one road that takes you to glory? Have you taken not only your bad deeds, have you taken your good deeds? Have you taken all your righteousnesses, all of your the best works you could ever do, and if you've thrown them in a heap and saying, I'm trusting in nothing, it's all but sin before God, it's all but failure coming short of His standard, and I flee to Christ alone. I trust in Christ alone who died for sinners. And I've asked Him to take me all the way from where I am, all the way to glory. Christ is the essential way to the Father. He is the exclusive way to the Father. And then also He is the indispensable way to the Father. See, not only must you get on a road in order to get to the desired destination, but you must stay on the road to get to the desired destination. Not merely must you put your trust in Christ, giving your life to Christ to get the glory, but you must continue to trust in Christ. You must continue to yield your all to Christ. If you want to turn with me, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. We will see here the very words of Christ, the beginning of His ministry. A message that never changed. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Having been told in verse 14 about Christ coming into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, we read Christ's words in verse 15, him saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Some people misunderstand this verse, but the terminology, the verbs are in the continual tense. Repent and keep repenting. Believe and keep believing the gospel. Tonight, I'm not asking you, have you repented? I'm asking you tonight, are you repenting? I'm not asking you tonight, did you once believe in Christ? Did you once get on to Christ? I'm asking you, are you on Christ tonight? Have you commenced to repent? Have you commenced to believe? And are you continuing to repent and continuing to believe? Christ said in Luke chapter 13, "Except ye repent and continue to repent, ye shall all likewise perish." In Luke chapter 6, verse 43, Christ says, "A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit." If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, given a new heart, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you'll not be perfect on this earth, but you will hate your sin. When you sin, when you feel, you'll be grieved by it. You'll sorrow over it. You'll want to turn from it because you'll ever realize how much Christ loved you and died for you. And so tonight, if you're one who's content in your sin, delighting in your sin, no grief over your sin, the reality is you've never been born again. The Spirit of God's not in you. Because the Spirit of God is grieved at sin. Christ is the indispensable way to the Father. And so again, I reiterate, I'm not asking you, did you once repent? Did you once believe? I'm asking you, are you repenting tonight? Are you believing tonight that Christ is the one who came from heaven's glory, God the Son, the one who's infinitely holy and pure and good and just, and he came down to this earth and he died in our place? The holy God, the infinite God, dying in our place, suffering the wrath of his Father in our place. Do you see the love of Christ in coming? Do you see the love of the Father in punishing his Son in our place and in thankfulness for that love? Are you not only trusting in what he's done, but are you ever turning from your sin and keep turning from your sin and keep turning from your sin? And loving thankfulness for him who's given everything for you. Christ is the indispensable way to the Father. For our road to be of any benefit, you must not only commence, but you must continue on that single road. Jesus Christ, he's revealing to us that he is all that we need. He declares, "I am the way. Through my life, through my blood, through my death, I have done all that's necessary for you to be redeemed, for you to be forgiven." But perhaps you ask the question tonight, how do I know? How do I know that Christ is the way? How do I know that this gospel is being preached tonight? This gospel is in the Word of God. How do I know that's even the truth? Well, you see, here's the second thing. Christ is not only our redemption, he's the way, but Christ is our revelation because he is the truth. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Christ speaking about himself being all that we need, he's not merely the one who in his life and his death has made himself to be the way that will take us all the way to the Father, but he is the one who is the truth to reveal to us the reality that he is the way. In this world, everybody believes something. Some people believe God exists. Other people believe God doesn't exist. Some people believe that lying is okay in some circumstances. Other people believe that lying is not okay in any circumstance. Some people believe the Lord's Day should be kept holy. Some believe the Lord's Day doesn't need to be kept holy. But the reality is, now everybody believes something. Sadly, some people believe that truth is relative. I've spoken to people in the past, and they've said to me, "Look, Paul, what is true for someone is not necessarily true for someone else." In fact, Pontius Pilate himself went along that line in John 18 when he turned around and said to Jesus Christ, "What even is truth? What is truth?" he says. Some people, in light of this, they turn around and say that truth is not objective, it's subjective. What is true for me may not be true for you, and what's true for you may not be true for me. And that's very handy for people to believe that. Because if truth can ever change according to individual people, well, that means that there's no objective wrong. People can do what they like. And as we read in the book of Judges, people just do what's right in their own eyes. It's very handy. But Jesus Christ tells us tonight, I am the truth. If you want to turn me, please, to John, 1 John chapter 5. The reality tonight is that truth exists. Objective truth exists. And God himself is that truth. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, we will read three times this reality that Jesus Christ is truth. Here the Apostle John says, verse 20 of 1 John 5, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Who makes us to know that Christ is the truth? Christ himself does. And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And so let me comfort you tonight. Truth not only exists, but truth can be known. Sadly, there are people today, and they are confused. They hear this person say this thing. Maybe it's in media. Then they go into a certain place. Maybe it's their workplace. And they hear another thing. And then they chat to your relative over here, and they say another thing. And they, well, how do I know what's true? Let me tell you, Christ is our revelation. He reveals to us the truth. That he is the way to get to the Father. Truth can be known tonight. In fact, if you want to turn with me, if you're still there in 1 John 5, you don't need to turn, but in 1 John chapter 5, in the verse 13, we read regarding the Word of God, particularly this book. John says, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, not merely that you might wish or that you might feel, but that ye may know with absolute certainty that ye have eternal life, and therefore that ye may continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. And in 1 John chapter 5, we are told the characteristics of one who's truly converted, one who's truly saved. Verse 1 of 1 John 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the one sent by God, the one to be our Savior, whosoever believeth, puts their trust in him, is born of God. But more than that, and everyone that loveth God, loveth Christ, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Three characteristics. If you're truly converted, here's the truth that Christ reveals and gives you a peace and assurance whether you're truly saved or not tonight. Are you trusting in Christ as the way? Are you trusting in Christ alone to be the way that takes you to the Father? In the life that he lived, that perfect spotless life for us, and the death he died and the blood he shed to wash away our sins. And are you not merely with your will trusting Christ, but with your heart, are you loving Christ? And are you with your life obeying Christ? The mind, the body, the heart, and the will. You believe in Christ to be the only Savior. Are you loving him as the only Savior? And are you obeying him with your life? Truth can be known. That's a comfort. Christ reveals this. To those that are lost, this is the way. But also, truth does not change. So many things in life change. The weather changes. People change. Attitudes change. Perspective changes. So many things change. Science changes in terms of its developing from one theory to the next. But what never changes is truth. It never changes. The promises of God in Jesus Christ never change. So when we are told that whosoever is born of God are those who are believing and trusting in Christ alone, And trusting in Christ alone and believing him to be the one whom God has sent in love for them, they love him and they yield themselves to him and they live for him. That's the promise of God. That truth never changes. See, this is a comfort tonight. Christ is the one who's able to open up your eyes and tell you the truth. But again, this brings a challenge. Because Christ being the truth means that we must trust what Christ is saying. So many people want to look to their feelings. And they will say, "Preacher, I feel good enough. I feel I'm going to heaven because of my life. I feel I'm okay before God." But we can't trust our feelings. If we're going to have Christ as the way, we must have Christ as the truth. We must trust what he has said and not alone. Some people will not look to their feelings, but people will look to their senses. What they can see, what they can hear, what they can smell, what they can touch. And they say, "Well, I can't see God, I can't touch God, I can't smell God. So God's not real. His son's not real." But you must trust what Christ has said in his word. Some people go to men for truth. They go to religious leaders. They go to church leaders. They go to scientists. They go to a family friend. They go, indeed, to a family member. They go to what they've experienced. Other people go to supernatural experiences. Maybe dreams that they've had, and to them this is some supernatural experience. "Well, I dreamed this, and I dreamt I was going to heaven, so it's all okay." But they've never repented, never put their trust in Christ. They're not looking to him alone for their salvation. They haven't got on the one road that takes to glory. And if you're not on that one road that takes you to glory, if you're not on Christ and the life that he lived, the blood that he shed, you're not going to glory, regardless of what dreams you've had, regardless of what you feel, regardless of what anybody else in this world teaches you. Christ alone is the truth. I remember talking to two different people on different occasions. And they told me they were certain that all was well with their soul. And one was because of a white feather. It may seem odd to many tonight, but this person was convinced of it. Every time when they were feeling down, a white feather would just happen to be somewhere around. And they would say that that means that God's with me and it's all okay. Now, the person denied that Christ is the only way to salvation and to the Father. They didn't believe the gospel at all. But because they had a little white feather they saw every now and again, they felt it was all okay. Another person I met, they would have seen a butterfly every now and again, just at different times in their life whenever they were feeling down. And because they would have saw a butterfly, just, there you go, all's okay. There's the butterfly, it's all okay. So many people are trusting in different things to give them assurance that all is okay. But we must have Christ as the truth. We must believe his word, that he alone is the way. He alone is the road. And so tonight, let me ask you this. Are you trusting in Christ? In what he teaches you in his word? And what he declares, that unless you come by him, you will never get to the Father. Are you trusting in that? How can you and I know that Christ is the way? Because of the truth he teaches. A truth that never changes. A truth that is sure and certain. A truth that's come from God. But notice with me the third thing as I finish tonight. You may say, "Preacher, you've told me that Christ is the road that will take me to glory through the life that he lived, the blood that he shed, and the death that he died. You teach me that Christ is the one that will teach me this. But how can I have faith to believe it? How can I see it? It's one thing for me to know it in my mind, but how can I have the eyes that really see it? How can I have the heart that really believes it and that gives my all to it? How can I have that?" You may say, "Look, preacher, I've been in church many years. I've heard the gospel many times, but I just don't get it. I just don't get it." But let me tell you tonight, a wonderful word of comfort. Christ is all that you need. Because here we read that Christ is not merely our redemption to purchase the way to glory. He's not merely the truth, our revelation to reveal to us that he is the way to glory. But he is the life. He is our regeneration to give us life. to open up our blinded eyes to see him for who he really is. That he is the living God. He loved us and came to this earth for us. That his word is truth. He is the one who's able to give us a new heart to love his truth. To love that he is the way. And he's able to give us a new will to make us who are dead to live. That we will then yield our all to Christ to get on the road. Christ tonight is all that you need. He is not merely the way. He's not merely the truth. But he is the life that you need. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Christ speaking to Nicodemus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Christ is saying that you may hear the truth, you may hear it preached, you may learn about it, you may be told it many, many times. But unless you're born again by the Spirit of God, unless you're worked upon by the Spirit of God, you will not believe, you will not see, you will not give your life to Christ, you will not put your trust in Christ, you will not enter the kingdom of God because you do not want to. So your need tonight, if you're unconverted, is Christ. And that's why we're told in the book of Isaiah, the chapter 55, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked man forsake his wicked ways. Let him turn unto the Lord, and God will abundantly pardon him." The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that unbelievers are blinded by the god of this world. John tells in 1 John 5:19 that the ungodly lie in the hands and the lap of the wicked one, being rocked, as it were, to sleep. In John chapter 3:19, Christ said, "This is the condemnation, that light and truth has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light." And they ran from the light. They ran from the truth. They never believed. They never wanted it because their deeds are evil. So by your own nature tonight, you who are an unbeliever, your own natural state, you may hear the gospel, you may come here, and that's good. That's good. But what you need tonight is Christ to give you life. That's the only way you'll really see Christ. You'll see him the way others see him. You can hear people talk about Christ, that he's wonderful, that he's beautiful, that he's everything to them, that he's their Savior, that he's their life, that he's their joy, he's their purpose, he's their love, even above their spouse that they're married to for decades. They love Christ more. You wonder how. I don't get it. I don't see it. How can you see it? You see it by Christ. Christ is the one who is the bread of life, who's come to give life. So let me conclude tonight. Are you one who's on the road? Are you one who's got on that one single road that will take you from where you are now all the way to the Father in eternal glory? Are you sure that if you were to die tonight, you would be with the Father? Are you sure tonight? Absolutely certain. Because you're trusting in Christ alone. The life that he lived. The blood that he shed. And the death that he died. That you can now have all your sins washed away. And be made perfect in the Father's sight. It's the only road that takes you to the Father. And it's only in Christ. You see, that question, are you on the road, is the same question as asking, are you one who believes the word of Christ? And are you heeding the word of Christ? And are you following the word of Christ? And that's the same question as asking, are you born again? Because if you have been born again, then you will trust the word. And if you will trust the word, you will put your trust and your weight and your life into Christ. Do you see tonight that this is one statement? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Three facts of Christ, all presenting this one reality, that Christ is all we need to make you to live tonight, to make you to trust his word tonight, to see it as truth, that he's the one way, and then to have that heart that wants him and that gets on to him, that yields your life to him who has loved you so much that he came to this earth for you. Are you born again? Are you one who sees Christ as the truth? Are you one who's on Christ as the way? Are you one who has Christ tonight? If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have truth. If you don't have Christ, you're not on the way. But Christ wants to save. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near, while he's speaking to you. Turn from your wicked ways, and Christ will abundantly pardon. What will you do with Christ tonight? The only Savior of men. Let's just bow in prayer. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, Lord, may nobody be fooled tonight. Perhaps there's someone in here, and Lord, I apply this to myself as well as to each one. Perhaps there's some here, and Lord, they would say that they are saved. But Lord, they know in their life that Christ is not their king. That Christ is not their all. That they are those that are loving their sin, loving their selfishness, loving their money, loving their lust, loving their relationships, loving their career, loving their family, all above Christ. And Lord, they're content in it. They're delighting in it. Lord, may they see tonight that they're not on the road, that they've never been born again. They're not following Christ, who is the truth. Oh, Father, I pray, may the lost see themselves for what they are. But Lord, may the lost see themselves in the wonderful truth that Christ offers himself to them, that he can make them new creatures because he is the life. He's the only one that gives life. And he is the truth. He can give them eyes to see everything that he said in the gospel's true. And he can give them then that new heart and that new will to give their all to Christ and to get on the road, repenting from their sin and trusting in Christ alone for their salvation, in the life that he lived and the blood that he shed and the death that he died. Oh Lord, save the lost tonight. May they realize that today is a day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. May they not put it off, for we do not know what will be on the morrow. We don't even know what will be in 10 minutes' time, Lord. May people get right with Christ tonight. And may you receive all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we ask, praying that we who are saved would apply this word to our hearts, that we will see that Christ is all that we have ever needed. The fact that we are born again, the fact we're trusting in Christ and loving Christ, is because he's working in us, and will ever cry, Lord, work in me more. Work in me more. That I will see you more and love you more and trust you more and live for you more. Lord, so work, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.